is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Hello and a pleasant good morning. It is Friday, September 12th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today we're going to have an open line Friday. That means we'll talk about what you want to talk about. There are one or two things that is trending in social media and, of course, the newspaper. I will read that into the record. But just the opportunity for you to call and say, Nuri, we need to discuss this. We need to hash this out. I wonder if you notice what is happening here, right? So that is one of the things I plan to be doing today. I'm trying to get the gentleman's name. Let me do a quick search right now. But we look like we have an ambassador nominee. Right, so we're kind of excited about that, Mr. Herschel Walker, and he has raised some concerns. Now, mind you, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable to say, man, I ain't sure if I agree with the potential or soon to be announced or possibly named ambassador. He said that we have a large Chinese, an expanding Chinese influence in the region and in the Bahamas. I'm not necessarily sure if that's true. We do wish for the United States to invest more into the Bahamas. That's all they got to do, right? The Chinese spending their money. We need someone to spend their money, and then you will have no problems. I'm just saying. The money makes us smile. We are a developing nation. We need some help and assistance and support. I mean, the United States continue to support us, of course, right? But if you have issues with that particular country, surely you need to step up in the Caribbean and say, well, we are prepared to do this. That means you don't have to go out and seek any more support from any other person, right? That's all that has to be done. Also, the ambassador nominee, mentioned that the drug trade in the Bahamas has increased. I don't know if that's true. I mean, circa 70s and 80s, right, around that time. And I understand the drug trade. I remember walking through the inner city, through shortcuts, and you see people with crack pipes in the bushes smoking. We had a strong drug problem. I mean, cocaine was everywhere, right? I don't necessarily think that is happening. I mean, that happens at the big country right there, the superpower right there, have a thirst for these substances, and then they are using whatever means possible to make sure that these illicit drugs come to their country, and we are kind of a conduit. But I don't think there is a strong drug issue in the Bahamas at this present time, right? What else I wanted to start talking about that I was concerned about? The gentleman who died. Kirk, what is his name? That means, that's to tell you, I don't follow these bloggers, right? And everybody is speaking about him. But, and I'm sure the texter will text me and say what the correct name for the gentleman. But he's a social media blogger. 30-odd-year-old gentleman who was shot when he was making a presentation to the university the other day. And there are a number of, I'm going to talk about the Bahamas, Bahamians who are celebrating. So, man, he deserved to die. He deserved to die. And I'm saying, nobody deserves to die. Right? I mean, he says some controversial stuff. I wouldn't even say some racial stuff. You know, some bigotry type of stuff. Right? But to assassinate him. I didn't even know that people assassinate people anymore. I thought that was of the past, like 1960 USA. Right? I know they have their aim and shoot people for their beliefs and whatever it is. That is concerning. I didn't know such things still happen. So, but I'm just more concerned about we as people of color and celebration of such things. You know, I'm not sure if it's appropriate, even if you dislike people, right, to want them to be unalived. You know, that's just peculiar. Also, recently, there was a DJ, American DJ, who lost his DJ bag with all of his music and stuff like that. Of course, he went viral. He made an appeal. It wasn't a diminishing appeal of the Bahamas, saying that things went awry into the Bahamas. He said he was here traveling to the Bahamas and his bag got stolen, right? All of his DJ and songs, DJ information, DJ tracks and songs were stolen in the bag, this hard drive. And he made an appeal. And the Bahamas responded. The Bahamas responded, and within 48 hours, his bag was returned. Whoever had the bag, who took his bag out of his room, realized the gravity of it and said, "No, man, I can return this back." And like I said, there were several appeals by various behemoths. Man, let's give this tourist bag his bag back, and it was returned. The DJ got his bag back. And that's something to celebrate as a testimony to Bahamians as well. It says something about us as a people, you know, because usually you hear a sad story, you lose your stuff. That's that, you know, you ain't getting it back. You ain't getting it back at all. And the idea that Bahamians made an appeal, it went viral. And of course, I'm going to return that. Okay, I got a text that said the gentleman name was Charlie Kirk. He's a political activist. Yes, Charlie Kirk. I appreciate that text. I've never necessarily listened to him. I saw the clippings that comes via social media, right, when he's on the universities and on various stages, or stage. And one or two things I empathize with, right? And one or two things I say, this big. Crazy, man. Who will support that? But I support freedom of speech, right? I support freedom of speech. So when he spoke, I disagree with him. And I'm glad there were various college people who challenged him, right? Put their voice or their shoulder to the wheel. Guardian Radio AM, this is an open line Friday. Can you hear me? Let's make sure the score comes through. Good. Can you hear me now? Yeah. Kermit. Let's wait, Kermit. See if you get that caller through for me, Kermit. The caller don't hang up yet. Kermit coming right now to patch the caller through. Something went wrong. Why I can't hear you as yet. Go ahead, Kermit. See if you go ahead. You in there? Okay. Call back.
Hello.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Yeah, morning, CA. What's going on?
Right here, man. Open line of Friday. We're just talking.
Yeah. I think the texter missed my point. Herschel Walker said the heavy presence of the Chinese in the Bahamas is a national security risk. That's what he said. So okay. I was just referring to what they think. They think, I know it's Japan, but I'm saying, do they think the Chinese could try to invade them like how Japan invaded Pearl Harbor in 41? That was my point. I know it's Japan. But he said the heavy Chinese presence of the Chinese is a national security risk. I want him to break that down for me. What do you mean by that? The Chinese can sneak up on them or what? What's happening? And then another thing, too. You say a lot of basing was going on in the Bahamas here in the 70s and 80s. See, that ain't their problem. Mm. They ain't worried about what we doing if we hitting coke here. They worried about the coke coming into their country.
But the coke always going to their country.
Yeah, now you see the bus was gone the other day with the five demons. And then you remember the Abaco bus? Where the three Bahamians get killed, coming out of Haiti with all like over 1,000 keys. Mm. You know, the destination is the U.S. So that's what he's looking at. Them two probably last incidents like that.
I always remember the Salinden interview, I think by ABC. Or I think that's the network.
NBC.
Wherever the network was. Right.
Yeah, NBC.
And when he said that, we don't produce coke here. We don't produce drugs here. Americans facilitate the smuggling from Colombia, passing it through the Bahamas to go to the United States. It's an American network. We just happen to be connected to the American network.
He killed me when he told Brian Ross and the woman, say, So y'all got the DEA and the CIA. And y'all got all the ass. And y'all got to keep the drugs in your country. And y'all expect me to keep the drugs in my little country. Y'all got to be crazy.
You got to be crazy. So, like I said.
And it can't be with that, baby. And the father of the nation, no play. Let me let someone else get it. I see.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. And that is something like a proud moment in our history of our father of our nation defending our country and what's happening here. I see the Minister of National Security. He's not speaking directly to the designated ambassador, of course, but he says Monroe. The headline says Monroe pushes back on drug smuggling concerns. It says interdictions are on the rise. That's why it seems as if we have an increase. The idea we capturing them, we seeing them, and we capturing. We have surveillance all over our borders. So the idea of what we're seeing persons being arrested is a good thing. So the increase in the numbers is a good thing because they ain't smuggling through the Bahamas no more. We actually see them and capturing them. So that's his defense. So like I said, it was not challenging the ambassador designated. But it definitely challenges it the narrative. So no man, we ain't no conduit like how you say we is. We doing our part. We doing our part. Let's go to the next caller. Garden Radio AM.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? Open line Friday.
Hello.
Hello. You live?
Yes. Those matter between the United States of America and other first world nations. And the United States presence was here from the 1700s when their first USS Wharf was here. So this is about the prime ministers only and to fix the dignity of humanity for all Bahamians. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate that. There are a number of people, just like the lady you called, who would say that all of these things that is happening is for big elephants. We are more mere mice in this narrative. And when, as mice, we need to stay in our hole, whereas these elephants get up and fight. It's one of those African proverbs, I think. And perhaps that's what we need to do. I see there are a number of politicals who want to insert themselves into this narrative. And I'm not necessarily sure if that's what we're supposed to be doing. Another thing I found interesting, I see the not the office of the prime minister, the secretary, the press secretary of the prime minister or the press secretary of the government gave a statement recently, said that the prime minister will revise the policy. I'm trying to not misquote her, will have a new policy or issue a new policy regarding the U.S. visas in terms of the Haitians coming in to go to the U.S. embassy to get visas. I appreciate that. But I'm noting that this is a third time now, that after the office of the prime minister has issued a statement or issue a policy or state this is the policy or the stance of the government, within days, there's a secondary announcement of correction that we revise and what we said earlier. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that because we must get it right the first time. We're supposed to go to, like I said, I think about 3-4 shows ago, that this statement should have come from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And the same concerns that I had when I said that the last time, that Foreign Affairs should speak, right? Not off the cuff, the Prime Minister being interviewed willy-nilly and he says something. Because I know the Prime Minister is competent. But because this is a diplomatic issue, we need to come correct. And then the frustration that a correspondence came, a whole letter came from the office of the prime minister. Now the head has to be revised. Again, this is the third time this has happened. And that's problematic. I see Aaron Green is joining me. Let's go to the calls first and then have Aaron Green respond to that. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay, yeah. I am just observing the statement that Herschel Walker made. You know, it is not to be taken offensively. I think what he does recognize is that there is an increase, and actually they can do something about it. actually they could assist in curbing that.
How?
Well, by sending more boats in the area. If he's there, he could actually, at his request, have them send more boats to curb the drug war. Yeah, and another thing, you talk about the Chinese interest. He then sees a need where America needs to step up.
We've been asking them to step up for years now.
Hello?
We've been asking them to step up for years now.
Yeah, but they recognize right now that it's becoming a problem for them.
Okay.
Right? And so then with their diplomatic presence here, they can influence that. They can actually speak to their investors better than we can, so as to have them have that interest in investing with Bahamians in the Bahamas.
Good. In the meantime, if the Chinese want to invest, they bring their money and they'll invest.
Yes, but at the same time, sometimes we need to look into what is really being said. See the opportunity. You understand?
Yeah, man.
And then if it really favors us, then we should embrace it. But sometimes people are talking with you, and we feel that they are talking against you.
Okay, I agree, sir. Yes. Thanks very much. The lines, let me get Aaron to comment on that. I mentioned that this is the third time when a statement from the office of the prime minister has been issued, particularly regarding the United States. And see, I want to be specific. All of these issues are three times, which regarding the United States. And later on, within days, within 7 days, 8 days, it had to be a corrected response. I am now concerned. I'm not sure if the politicals are watching or diplomats, career diplomats, whose job it is to understand diplomacy, if they are concerned. I'm just saying now it's three separate occasions.
Mm-hmm. So I want to say, forgive me, I had to take a little break. I don't know if you heard the end of my show, I got a little excited, and I had to follow my own advice and go take some time to breathe. Maybe we could fix this one easily, right? So, and I know you're going to be shocked when I say this, the government needs more people from the media.
Explain what you mean. I understand.
I mean, because, you know, I critique the government. And I say one of the best things and things they've been most successful at is media busting. I'm going to say now they need more of us. Not me, because I'm not actually a journalist, but they need more professional journalists in the country. And they just need more people, not more professionalism yet. I ain't get that point yet. Each ministry needs a press officer. Right, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, when you look at their website and you look at the statements that they're putting out, they have a press officer. They have somebody who's responsible for identifying events, activities, doing a write-up and disseminating it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Each ministry requires a press officer that will report to the Office of Communications in the Office of the Prime Minister. Right, whatever that unit is, and they need to be resourced so that they can report for the Office of the Prime Minister, so they could be properly parsed, and then daily briefings could be prepared. So the whole idea, remember when they said, "Oh, we're gonna end the off-the-cuff engagement with policymakers?"
Yes,
they're trying to avoid this type of thing, but. You have to replace it. You take something away, you have to replace it. The information still has to flow at the required pace.
And I hear all of that. But there is an official response from the government. Not, see, the off-the-cuff is the prime minister. And I could excuse it.
Yeah.
I could excuse it because they caught him off guard.
But I got you to
however,
point. That
an official response came, a considered response came afterwards. And now we find that response is perhaps problematic.
Right. When you read the response that was posted on the OPM website and you read the off-the-cuff statements from the prime minister, it appears as if that response was prepared based on the prime minister's off-the-cuff statements, right? That's the point I'm making. That press statement would have been different if the person who wrote it was informed by a press officer from Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
I see all the lines lit up. Kermit, let's speak to some of these callers. Go ahead.
My name is Mr. Nurikima. morning, Ms. Again, Ms. Green.
Morning.
The Prime Minister needs to discipline himself. When I say discipline himself, I saw people telling him about off the cuffs, comments and stuff like that. And now he's saying, we should expect, the spokesperson, the lady, saying that we should expect something from the Prime Minister after reviewing. That's a key word, reviewing. I know if I'm pronouncing it properly, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that's a key word. And now, what I expect from knowing the Prime Minister's do off the cuff, I expect him to not bow or cater, but to, it's going to be different. Whatever we say, if he say it was no, it could be yes. And I hope you don't make it so complicated so people can't understand it. I hope those speech writers and the people will try to ask him to discipline himself and stick to the strip. Don't worry with some of, I mean, you got to worry with the questions being asked, but stick to the strips. I'm sure they get answers there for you to be able to deal with. So I expect him, if he to say no, then something ain't happening. And from what I understand, it sounds like it being happening, it ain't nothing different. But I don't know why he do the off-the-cuff thing. It's familiar now for him. We more know him to do those kind of things. But someone should try to discipline him and tell him, Mr. Neri, what I gonna want you comment on, and Ms. Green, if it's possible, it sounds like you all do is Fox aliens. And it sounds like the politics heating up in that area. What I want you all to answer for me, the point where it was said that the chairman, Fred Mitchell, the MP, a statement come from his office saying that what was suggested from Mr. Fox, the opposition candidate, to offer like hot dogs, drinks, and chips to the children, it sounded like he's saying that's not a public place and it should be regulated. But, you know, people out there, some people appreciate it and they're hungry and stuff like that. So I don't know how what your view is with that. But, Ms. Green, let me say this quickly, please. I know that guy said I take 25 minutes, but maybe it's be when I shut up and listen to you too.
Mm-hmm.
You hard, you good, like we say here in the Bahamas. Listen, two things. Look at what you say just now. You point out to him the government needs more media people. It might sound confusing knowing that they try to cut the media, right? But they need people like Ms. Green. Ms. Green say she ain't no journalist. You more than a journalist. They need people like Ron, you who could deal with challenges and who think out of the box. Like too much of them around there. Either they ain't allowed to think out the box or they ain't thinking out the box. But we need people like the suggestion what she's be giving Rachel on the radio. Look at what she said before her show over. She said the same way how y'all has approved things, them and signed contract with business before the EIA came out or you disagree saying that. So hire these young people them and give them the opportunity to get the BJCs and GCEs and stuff like that. These are the kind of people we need. And you know what I was saying earlier? These are the kind of people we need in Parliament. Before I'm going out with so like being the same realm or something, that she say that the government need more people like that. You understand what I'm saying? So I respect you for what you just be pointing out to us, and I hope they could learn to listen, ma.
Thank you.
So much to say, but if I take too long to explain it, the people say talking too long.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
No problem, Bob.
Remember Fred Mitchell with the hot dogs and stuff? What happened?
We can respond right to that right now. Okay, we can respond to that. But before we go to the call, because all the lines lit up. Mm-hmm. But remember, we're talking about Foxhill next, right? I want to read this and then go to the next call. It says, good morning, CA. You reported that Charlie Kirk is known for his bigotry comments, then admit to never listening to him. For your information, Charlie Kirk is a Christian, a believer in Christ Jesus, who was murdered just like the apostles for his message he preached. And Hitler was a Christian too. Hitler was a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
But he murdered up a Jew. I just saying.
And the African. And the disabled.
Yeah.
And the homosexual.
It's a trend. Anyway, let's go to the caller's stem, but we got to talk about Foxhill too and the debate that is happening there.
Okay, so very quickly, mm-hmm. If Mr. Mitchell is concerned that the activity is a good initiative, but the place that you're trying to do it is the incorrect place, man, Mr. Mitchell, help them get the proper permit.
No, that's his opponent. You just point out something's wrong. But I want to discuss.
Okay,
let's discuss it.
The critique is positive.
Let's discuss it. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Mitchell likes the exchange. What he's doing now is he is doing this for his, not entertainment is not a bad word. It is a bad word, but he's doing it for that political
The public exposure, right?
Yes.
So people could see the political discourse.
His challenge is purposely done for the discourse. The point that he made about the hot dogs can be unhealthy. Now, the response was that these are beef hot dogs, which is more healthy, right?
Yeah.
He then made the issue that you can't be having young children coming into buildings without proper protection of the children.
right?
Yeah, they should be accompanied by an adult.
Right?
Or an older...
So it's a good point.
Yeah.
From there, the response was, we will have it outside. It was outside. When you pass, you get your bag and whatever it is. So the critique that Mr. Mitchell is doing is not necessarily bad.
Sometimes
it might sound petty, right?
It's constructive, criticism, right? And so I just wanted to add on to that. I saw the video where somebody was driving by a home in the Big Yard in Centerville, and they're saying they were upset because authorities were closing down little petty shops and people were running from their homes to support their income, right, in the family. We understand people are struggling and trying to think. What they're doing is counterproductive. You got seven people in the same yard all selling snack. You reduce your sales, right? But what these people really need is somebody from the cooperatives association, the cooperatives unit in the government, to come into these communities and figure out, first of all, identify the issue. Do people have economic need, right? They probably have a lack of skills, so they can't...
Urban renewals do that, no. You go to urban renewal and state what has happened, they will get the permits for you.
Right. Go to urban renewal. But then also the cooperatives unit needs to come in. And if there's six people in proximity all selling the same thing... Help them organize so they could maximize their economic agency, their buying power, so they could diversify the things they're bringing in. And because there's six or seven of them working together, then they can afford to now buy healthier snacks and sell them to kids at a lower price.
Yes. Let's go to the caller still. I know Lang's lit up still. Go ahead. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller. Kermit, let's go to the next call. No? Everybody's gone? Okay, Claire, you can call us again at 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and the call is back again. Go ahead, Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Aaron Cobb, good morning.
Morning, morning.
Haven't heard from you in a minute.
I haven't heard from you. I know you're good, though.
I was in and out.
Good stuff.
Listen. The texter that spoke about Charlie Kirk being a Christian, is that texter trying to tell us that it's okay for a Christian to talk bad about others and to others and to make other people feel bad? Is that what they're trying to say? Because that's what he did. That's how he lived. He didn't hide that. He was proud of that. The fact that he's a Christian is really making Christians look bad.
Well, now, remember, there are some Christians who believe, right, that it is their obligation, their duty, their divine duty to defend the faith, right?
And then they're not true Christians, because Christians are made to believe that they should live like Christ lived. Christ, who did he make feel bad? Who did he talk down to? How did he oppress the people?
Remember,
so you're not a true Christian if that's what you're doing.
Now, I mean, I hear you. That's one Christian perspective on the Christian faith. All I'm saying is there are going to be other Christians who are going to tell you that, oh, no, I am not that type of Christian. I'm a Templar. As a Templar Christian, my job is to defend the body of Christ, to defend the faith, right? And that y'all heathens, you just going to have to get laid out. If you're in my way, because I have I have divine instructions, right? And so,
that kind of Christian, what's the difference between you and a Muslim?
What I'm saying is Christians have to grapple with this, right? With that, Christians have to grapple with the breadth and scope of their faith. They have to grapple with the boundaries and the scope of it, right? So, you identify as a Christian, I can let you do that. But remember that there are others who are going to say, hey, this position is not just fine. It is the only correct position. The same way the Catholic Church say, man, you could talk Anglican and whatever you want to talk, but Roman Catholicism is the only Christianity.
Thank you very much, caller. And before we go to the next caller, let me read this text. It says, Mr. Neary, why would you or any Bohemian take what Mr. Walker says seriously? How much time has he ever spent here? Can he name six islands without a map? You also said that no one deserves to die. What about the conscienceless perpetrator of genocide? The guy who stabbed an innocent woman on a bus recently? The list of murderers here and elsewhere who repeat and repeat. Dude, killers deserve to live and victims deserve to die. No one deserves to get murdered. I strongly believe in thou should not kill. Full stop.
Right, and
that's just me.
And my thing is, I don't think it's reasonable for you to come to somebody and say, yeah, but my God said,
yeah.
my God said yeah. that they deserve to die, they needed to die. Right?
And in regards to not listening to the future ambassador, if he becomes the ambassador, look at Lazarus Smith, he represents the United States of America. They have research and technology to scan the whole... They still listening to my phone calls. They listen to you. They know exactly who texted me just now. Or this nonsense. So don't worry.
Don't worry. The last hour, I didn't tell them. I told y'all, right? Moderate in public domains because you have a... And I know this. Many of us have a false sense of ownership, right? I own my social media account. You don't. I own my pictures. You don't even own the pictures you put on the account.
Yeah.
Once you put them up there.
They own by Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the next call. This text says the revised statement by the government is because the pressure from the U.S. Behind the scene. I'm not sure why. We'll find out soon enough when the prime minister tell us what is the official policy of the Bahamas.
But hold on, pause. Mm-hmm. The policy in and of itself was not incorrect, right? The part where it say, well, if the U.S. ain't giving out visas, then why would we allow entry for the purpose of getting one of the visas they're not giving out? That makes sense. Did it make sense to say it like that? I'm not sure.
Mm.
Did it make sense to say it at that time? I'm also not sure.
Mm.
But I wanted to say, I expected the retraction to take place on October 31st.
Mm.
I didn't expect it to come so quickly.
Certainly. Yeah. The idea that people come in every day now from various jurisdictions with Haitian passport and still getting visas.
When you get an article,
mm-hmm.
and maybe I could just highlight the specific comments by the U.S. Embassy consular staff,
mm-hmm.
speak into that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break right here. I see you, callers. If you go hold on during the break, that'd be good. And when we come back, we'll come directly to you. But then we'll have Aaron read the statement to have that in the record so people can ponder on that. Guardian Radio AM is open line Friday. We'll be right back.
They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We go straight to the line, and then Aaron can read that article. The line, that's even better. Aaron, let's read that excerpt so people can be aware of what's happening again.
All right, so after the government statement, hey, we're not letting anybody in for a Haitian visa because the U.S. not offering them, so don't expect anybody to be let in. And then we had Bahamian saying over and over again, but scores of migrants coming through the airport, the scores of new arrivals, we need some clarity on the matter. And so reading from the article, U.S. Embassy official says, if Haitians show up for visa services, they will be processed. This was in the Nassau Guardian in yesterday's paper. Mm-hmm. An American official said yesterday, while the government has stated Haitians will not be granted entry into the Bahamas for the purpose of United States visa applications, an American official said yesterday, people in this category will still be processed at the U.S. Embassy in Nassau if they show up to their appointments. Karina Kanan, consular section chief of the U.S. Embassy in Nassau, made the comments on Morning Blend, where she sought to clear up misconceptions about the issue. A new U.S. policy slated to take effect on November 1st requires, quote, immigrant visa applicants to interview in the consular district designed for their place of residence or in their country of nationality, if requested, with limited exceptions, close quotes. The U.S. policy mandates that residents of countries where routine visa operations are suspended or paused should apply at their designated immigrant visa processing post, unless the applicant is a national of another country with ongoing operations. Nassau is listed as the designated post for applicants from Haiti, right? Kanan said the U.S. defers to the Bahamas on setting the policy of who is allowed to enter this country. So the U.S. is not telling us who could enter our country.
Yes, we knew that.
Right? We're just reiterating it because some people, through their commentary, do not know that. She says, there's not a total ban on entry on Haitian nationals to the U.S. It's a suspension of issuing new visas with the exception of certain immigrant visa categories. We have non-immigrant and immigrant visa categories. I think most Bahamian tourist visa, and they're thinking of the student visa. And yes, there's a full suspension of new issuance of those to Haitians. However, there were some exceptions to family-based categories of visas. On the immigrant visa side, we do issue visas for family reunification. So that happens when there's a U.S. citizen relative in the U.S. They petition for a foreign family member to come join them. I see the phone is lighting up, Mr. Nuri. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to go to them.
No, let's go to them right now. But yeah, you got the gist of everything over from that?
Essentially, there was never a complete prohibition. Mm-hmm. There was restrictions on certain types of visas, and they have been processing other types.
Yeah.
Very small exceptions.
So I assume when the Prime Minister come and release his statement, it'll reflect that.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller. Kermit, just patch that caller for me.
I get it.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, C8.
Hey.
Yeah, I expect the Prime Minister to retract their statement for various reasons, you know, because the U.S. request, according to what I listened to, is not a new one. They said that Haitians always been coming here to be processed. So the only question is my concerns are based on what the Bahamas government is doing and how we relax our visa requirement, despite of what's going on in Haiti, to accommodate these numerous flights. I mean, anyone in media, I'll be able to get a definitive answer how many flights come in from Haiti.
I would have called Bahamas Air and asked them how many flights they have.
I know you can't get that information. Not only Bahamas Air brings them in, CA, you have private flights doing it also.
We do? So, I don't know.
But the Ministry of Tourism, since they are classifying them as tourists, they should have the numbers at the end of the year or whenever, because they always talk about how much tourists come into the Bahamas, right?
Mm.
So we should have an idea on how many tourists came in from Haiti. And are these people going back? Are they overstaying their time like the U.S. Is complaining about in respect? Are they overstaying their time? Any of them are getting regularized? Any of them are getting given work permits? What is the status of these people that are coming into the country? Because it's obvious they're not leaving. It doesn't seem that way when you look at the classroom and how overcrowded the classroom spaces are, how limited the bed space are at TMH, how difficult it is for persons to find jobs. You're competing with these individuals, and not only in the workspace, but as investors also. You have many unregulated shops throughout New Providence as we speak. And these people are just dabbling in our economy. Okay. Unabated. All of these things need to be factored in before you issue a work permit or a citizenship for these type of things. But we are just doing it unabated. And I'm happy that we are having this the U.S. and the Bahamas are having this dialogue. All it is exposing to me is that these people who we elect cannot think critically, and they cannot think on their feet. It seems that way, and it's an amateur experience. What I'm watching in this exchange, the U.S. is dominating the conversation and is dominating what's going on, while we are all over the place issuing press release that we got to retract and restructure. It's just unbelievable what we see happening here to these persons who elected to the highest office in Islam. It's just embarrassing to me.
Okay.
And we all should be embarrassed.
Thank you very much. They have captured or assassinated Charlie Kirk. It's a 22-year-old.
They captured the suspect.
No. The father turned him in. So suspect still. But his father came and said, "My son, my good son did it."
How he know? How does?
He confessed. He confessed to his daddy. He said, "Daddy, I do that."
How does he know his son is telling the truth?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Mental illness is a serious thing.
That's why we wait until the court determines.
Yeah. But yeah. They arrested somebody.
Yeah, we know that they have identified a suspect and they have arrested the suspect. We know that much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We know that the suspect's father believes that the suspect did it,
mm-hmm.
and the suspect's father turned him in.
I also see, before we go to the caller, that the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Defense Force is grappling with the realities of our recruitment. The issue is, they're saying that a number of the recruits or people who are interested in becoming officers do not meet the grade necessary. And a grade necessary is grade 8, grade 9.
Mm-hmm.
So these men and women who are now trying to join the Royal Bahamas Police Force do not have the qualification of a grade 9, grade 8 person.
You know what would just hit me? Like, it just slapped me. And you didn't notice I almost fell off the chair?
Mm.
Is imagine now that I realizing that you don't have any intent of continuing education in the police force. Eh?
Mm.
Like, what would you, whatever you come in here with is what you're going to leave with? You don't have a culture of improvement and enhancement and education in the police force? In fact, you don't have required mandatory training sessions that so police officers already, they already in this culture is already inculcated in them that they're going to be learned.
I assume they have a response for all of that. Let's go to the callers again.
And then we can get to the second point.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Got it, Renee.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nui. Good morning, Ms. Green. I'll try and make this one quick. Just make a quick comment on the immigration issue, right? It's frightening to me that as a Bohemian, when you call the talk shows and comment, it was how people calling and commenting and calling the hysteria, right? So, I mean, you need to define what is a Haitian Bohemian, and we really need to define it. Whether it's somebody who has a baby with a Haitian and a Bohemian, or they come in, yet they start to speak. Because, and I notice with the media, you never ask them where do their allegiance lies. Because it's obvious, right? Some of them have never visited Haiti, but yet still, when you call and speak, I'm speaking about my community. The first thing I would appreciate if they do, right, Aaron,
mm-hmm.
is come and find out how I'm living with my Haitian brothers and sisters in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living very good. That's what I'm saying. But when I call and speak out about strangers mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. unabated migration, there's a problem. And it's sickening. And so, Cleaver brought up a very important question as it relates to parallel societies and parallel economies. And we've seen, and CIA brought it up the other day, they're being allowed to get away with things that we're not allowed to get away with. It's like ordinances, but I don't want to get into that. But for me, as it relates to the assassination of the gentleman in the States, I wasn't in Fulham, but it seems to me as if Christians, they own God, and everybody has the right to excommunicate you from God, and they just anti-Semitism wouldn't solve the world's problem. But another quick thing is, Aaron, we could go back in historical lessons as it relates to these impositions by America. We could just show the opium wars in their face as it relates to Britain and France,
mm-hmm.
where this is why China hates drugs so much. because they just everybody read the open wars. Mm-hmm. This is why China is against drugs, because they actually forced China to facilitate opium shipments during the 1840s, etc. The first opium war, the second opium war, is called the Battle of Nanking.
And then they proliferated opium. Hold on,
it's good to know history, man. So wouldn't we mean a mystery? Yeah, this is all the conversations that we need to have, man. Give thanks. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ms. Green, what helped me this morning was the caller said that I promoted his theory, but I said nothing about Haitians taking over. So he actually commented on something that didn't exist. See, what I'm saying is, as talk show host, you have to defend the caller. I didn't say anything about Haitians taking over, but the gentleman called and mentioned my radio name, 52, this and 50. But apparently he didn't listen to what I'm saying. But my question to him, where's his allegiance? And what they don't know, I have Haitian beam in France who visited Haiti and know that they are play hated when they go Haiti too. I have an Haitian American friend. They store Bob with him. They didn't know he could speak Creole, and he could so run them the other day, but they didn't know he was Haitian because they thinking he's American and just come in. Wait. So mm-hmm. All of them have disparaging remarks against us secretly.
Okay, thanks very much. 52 is always passionate, but I love his passion. And you always try to research and say, this is what I believe in, and I appreciate him regarding that. I see Dr. Davo mentioned that some of the clinics need more money.
No, let me see the paper.
He says some of the clinics need more money, saying that they lack money. They aren't able to invest in various infrastructure.
Listen.
Regarding that. So I am concerned about that. Clearly, we need to budget more money to healthcare in order to make sure these clinics clinics get the facilities and whatever else they need.
I guess I should be thankful that they didn't put that on the front page, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Healthcare reforms impeded by lack of funds. And, yeah. Mr. Nuri, when I read this, when I saw the headline, I was like, what? The feverish drive to reform a fragmented Bahamian public healthcare system struggling with unequal access for patients and low quality is being impeded by funding and skilled staffing constraints. I don't.
You said we broke. That's what you said we broke.
No. That's not what that said.
What did it say? We don't have the money.
No, that's not what it said. Impeded by funding.
Yeah, money.
No.
No?
No.
No?
No.
What did it say?
By funding does not automatically imply that there is no money.
It implies.
There's no money for them.
Yeah.
It's a big distinction. Mm-hmm. This is extremely problematic, right? Yeah. Because you're building a whole new specialty hospital.
Yes.
Why aren't you planning for this? This is just like housing. Mm-hmm. Why aren't y'all planning for this? Mm-hmm. When y'all took the people to Savoy to go sing for the Queen. I mean, was it the King or the Queen? Anyway, all is my family. That's not the point. When y'all took the fancy Bahamians to the fancy event to go sing for the fancy people, y'all didn't think about how much money you was going to need to build another hospital?
Clearly not. I'm really concerned because it seems as if whenever this hospital is built, we still going to be short.
Yes.
I mean, actually, some doctors asked about that when they're having the town hall meeting. Say, man, you're habitually short of funds.
Not just
when you're building this hospital, we know you're going to be short.
Not just that. You continually, Dr. Davil in particular, continually opens his mouth and says that, you know, our medical staff are being poached, right? They're being headhunted. They're being drawn to more attractive salaries in more attractive jurisdictions with more attractive resources. The answer is in the question. Give them better salaries. Give them better resources. Make it more attractive.
Mind you.
In the meantime.
But let's talk about attractiveness, though.
Because let me tell you what's not attractive.
Go ahead.
What's not demure. What's not mindful. Is a prime minister and a minister of health that will get up and say, nobody should have to be transported to a hospital on the back of a truck.
Mm.
We knew that. You don't think all of us knew that?
Maybe
you
all knew it.
Everybody knew it but you.
Yeah.
You're the only one who discovered it. And what you actually wanted to say was, of a person being transported.
In the rain.
In the rain. On the back of a flatbed truck to a hospital.
Because we know they have no ambulance. We knew that a long time. Let's go to the caller system, Aaron. Producer, patch that caller through for me. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, girl, once. Carly, hear me now? Nothing? Okay. We should be concerned as a nation, right? And I've concluded that the issue is not... the issue is that we have a management problem. We are unable to manage what we have, and we have no vision in terms of how to, or no idea how to improve what we have.
It's an administrative crisis.
Yes, we are in a crisis.
We have the technical skill. Yes. We're sending people off to schools. We get the other jurisdictions, other countries, they find these people very attractive. They're like, hey, those skills that you have, yeah, we're going to pay you handsomely mm-hmm. to invest those skills in our country. Because mm-hmm. we see your country interested. Yeah,
something is wrong.
In it. We've got the human resources.
You see how much potholes we have?
Listen.
I mean, on every road.
I
don't mind it. No, Jai, someone should be passionate.
No, Paul.
Doing something.
I can tell you what happened. It didn't rain for the first 3 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you they prayed that it wouldn't rain for the rest of the year, so they wouldn't have to worry about the potholes. It rained for 1 month straight. It rained for 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And every pothole in the eastern end of New Providence opened back up.
And the road's bad.
Horrible, big. And what it reveals is the work was done poorly the first time.
Mm.
There's no way in a space of a week a pothole could turn into a one-foot ditch.
It's a cradle.
In the road.
Yeah.
Right? But my problem is, they can send the same people back
to patch it.
And then they can tell us they paved the road when really it's only cold patch. And we know that cold patch is inherently a temporary solution. So see what I'm saying? If you're using cold patch, you know you get a cold patch once a year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have a schedule of cold patching.
Mm-hmm.
The construction sector said it. The skills enhancement and capacity building, educational and vocational opportunities that the government says that they're providing. You need 400 masons and you have an apprenticeship program that can only accommodate 25 students and only a small percentage of them are masons. Mm. You know that you are not properly preparing for the project. So you have $10 million worth of investment on the table. We know you won the election because you convinced sufficient numbers of people that not only are you able to attract that amount of investment, that you'll be able to realize it as well. You didn't begin preparing the plans to realize the labor, to attract the Bahamians to the skills building opportunities abroad and locally.
Before we go, I need one major issue that this election is going to be about. Just one. What is it that everybody is talking about? We're getting ready to go right now. Yeah, so whatever, one issue.
I mean, the thing that people are talking about is immigration, right? But I think the issue is the administrative crisis and the breakdown in government, in service and function in government entities.
We can talk about that.
Yeah.
That could be our conversation next week. What is the major issues? You mentioned governance and administration, and then you also mentioned immigration.
Yeah.
No matter how much this immigration under control, every day we're talking about it. The Bahamian people just not buying into it. This seems to be the issue that might break the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green.
You know what I mean, though, right?
What I mean.
Ain't nobody who been to Dubai could run in this election.
They like sing though. They can sing.
Listen, anybody who know anything about camel can't be here. Y'all yeah. talking about breaking the camel back.
And,
no.
And dress like chic. Anyway, guys, we're here. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.